We've already dismissed the children, so we get to share a little bit from God's Word this morning. We've been talking about peace on earth has been the theme for this Advent season, and very appropriate theme for us to look at. I want to share a few thoughts this morning. So this is the third Sunday of Advent already. Hard to believe the way the calendar falls this year that this is time marching on. And the first Sunday of Advent, we ask the question, is there a place for peace? Is there a place for peace? And we talked about the world into which Jesus came. What was it religiously, politically, personally for Mary and Joseph? Was there a place for peace? And we know that there was much turmoil, and so it was hard to find a place for peace. And we noted that when Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, there was no room in the inn for the Prince of Peace to be born. So we talked about that. We talked about the world in which we live and how there's turmoil here. And just early this morning on my way here, the radio was on in the car and heard about an attack, a bombing in Turkey and another location I didn't catch. But we realized that there are still places of great turmoil in our world in which we live. And then we put out the challenge about the world that is in my heart. Is there peace in my own heart, in my own life? Last weekend, last Sunday, I was at the Walk to Emmaus working on a team there and had the privilege of sharing with 40-some pilgrims. Many of you are familiar with the Walk to Emmaus. It's a spiritual weekend retreat. And if you're not, please ask me about it. It's a wonderful experience. And we had an amazing time with about 40 men who were pilgrims and about 50 guys who were a part of the team. So that Emmaus Walk experience was where I was last weekend. Some of you were asking about me and assuming that I went home to see Mom. I did not. I was at the Walk to Emmaus. Doug Reynolds shared last week and asked three questions. Does God still speak peace to ordinary people? I believe the answer is yes. Secondly, do I really want the peace that Jesus gives? Now, that's a question that all of us should also respond yes to. And the final question that Doug talked about is peace God's will for my life? And he challenged us with some action steps. Take God's word personally, seriously, know God's word. Live with childlike trust, trusting in God's word. Tell others, write down what God is teaching you. Today, we want to talk about a sign of peace. We want to talk about a sign of peace. And the familiar narrative from Luke chapter 2, 11 and 12. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. Sign to you. Sometimes random thoughts cross my mind, and sometimes they're even rational. But I was thinking about Jeff Foxworthy, you know the jokes. Here's your sign. Here's your sign. Well, here's your sign. This will be a sign to you. You will find him, Jesus, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. A sign of peace. Well, during the last, we're going to be wax historic here for a few moments, so bear with me. During the last 3,500 years of recorded history, historians tell us that there have been 230 years, only 230 years out of 3,500 where there has been no war in our world. And this is not just little skirmishes, but major wars between large people groups. The 20th century, during the 1900s, we had two major world wars. World War I, World War II. In World War I, 23 million lives were lost. In World War II, 53 million. This past week, we remember the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, where 2,335 servicemen lost their lives. Several of our ships were sunk, and a couple of them totally destroyed. December 8th, our President Roosevelt got up and made his famous Pearl Harbor speech that started with the line, a date that will live in infamy. It was an unannounced, unprovoked attack on the United States. 1 hour later, Congress passed a formal declaration of war against Japan, officially brought the U.S. into World War II. Some of you were alive during that time and remember those days and remember where you were and what you were doing. To present time, over 1.1 million Americans have died in the wars, beginning with the Revolutionary War to this point, which for some other countries, World War II casualties for Russia were in the range of 20 to 40 million people. So there have been wars, there have been turmoil that's been a part of our world down through history. Now, being a child of the 60s, and if you lived during the 60s, you remember these signs. A sign of peace. A peace sign. There were all kinds of protests against the Vietnam War, and it was not a popular war. So, all these turmoil, all this turmoil, and yet we strive for peace in our world. And we ask the question this morning, is peace, the peace that the Bible talks about, is it just simply an absence of conflict? An absence, a time when there is no war? I believe for the Christ follower, for the Christian, it is so much more than that. Jesus tells us this. So we ask the question, what is peace? Jesus tells us this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. I do not. So it's more than just an absence of conflict. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. There's an account in Mark chapter 4 of Jesus teaching many parables. And then near the end, Jesus says to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Let's go over to the other side. And as they are traveling by boat, a humongous storm comes up. And some of the disciples were not were familiar with the Sea of Galilee and how storms would whip up very quickly. And Jesus was asleep in the bow of the ship. And he didn't have a problem with the storm. But the disciples, they said, Lord, they woke him up and they said, Lord, don't you worry that we're going to perish here? And Jesus got up and he spoke words. What did he say? He said, peace, be still. Peace be still. So, the point is that in the midst of the storm, Jesus speaks words of peace to us. So, let's ask the question this morning, where will we find peace? Over Thanksgiving weekend, we have four grandsons and they were all at my house, beginning Wednesday night to Sunday night. Okay? Four grandsons, 13, 11, 9, and 7. It makes for an interesting mix. Saturday night, we had a campfire out in the backyard, and our backyard is pretty large and pretty dark. And the four boys were running around doing what boys do, fight and tackling each other and having a good time, until it got ugly, okay? I'm calling it the Thanksgiving Saturday night, Thanksgiving weekend debacle. The 13-year-old, big, gangly, tall, getting kid, got, I guess, taken down the way I understand the story. I was in the house. Oscar's mom, Sarah, was out there supposedly supervising. And the 11-year-old, younger brother of the 13-year-old, and the 9-year-old, piled on the 13-year-old, had him down, okay? He wasn't happy about that. So he gave his brother an elbow and accidentally, or on purpose, knocked his glasses off, okay? And if you've ever worn glasses and got hit in the glasses, you know how aggravating and painful and frustrating that is. And so somehow in the melee, the 9-year-old cousin grabbed the 13-year-old's tennis shoe and pulled it off of him, took his shoe off. And by that time, the 11-year-old had got hit in the head, hit in the glasses and lost his glasses. Oscar threw the tennis shoe to his 11-year-old cousin, and his 11-year-old cousin ran to the creek and threw the shoe in the creek. Peace on earth, okay? Peace on earth. So since Jaron, the 11-year-old, didn't look for his glasses right away, he had no idea where they were. So there we were Saturday night with flashlights and the car lights and everything else trying to find the 11-year-old's glasses. We didn't even find them. Didn't find them Saturday night. So when the boys came into church Sunday morning, I especially looked to see if Jaron had his glasses. He went out in the daylight and found them. Where will we find peace? Peace on earth. We know that there's plenty of turmoil personally in many different ways. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have Saturday night debacles. You will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Where will we find peace? Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ. Since you are members of one body and you were called to peace, and be thankful. So, if we find peace in Christ, let's ask the final question, who is our peace? And the answer becomes obvious when we look at what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He's talking to the Gentiles primarily in earlier verses. And he's saying, now you have been brought near through Christ. For he himself is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Amen? Jesus is our peace. Without him, we're not going to get it figured out. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. If we go on reading verse 15, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. See, there was this big divide between Jew and Gentile, and Jesus is saying, Paul is saying, Jesus broke this wall down. Jesus is saying, the wall is broken down. Verse 16, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. It is through Christ that we have this peace. Paul, when also wrote to the second letters to the church at Thessalonica, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Peace is not a signed decree or treaty. We've signed treaties. There have been hundreds of treaties signed in the world, and they've all been broken. I just read something that 500 treaties with the Native American Indians in our country, 500 treaties have been made and have been broken or changed. We're human. We're prone to disagreement. We're prone to war. We're prone to Saturday night debacles. Peace is a person. The sign of peace is a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Peace is not rhetorical. And it's not just a baby in a manger, it's a man who grew up and lived among us and lived a perfect life, died on a cross for our sins, was resurrected on the third day. Peace is not rhetorical. Peace is not just a thought or an idea. Peace is a lived out reality. Peace is not some invisible, vague entity, but is visible through action. Peace is seen as a helpless child come into our world, but grew up and created this opportunity for us to have a relationship with God, to have peace with God, to have peace in ourselves. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him as your Savior? Have you embraced him as your Savior, as your Lord? Do you follow him? Do your actions demonstrate daily that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? I think most of you know that I grew up on a farm in southeastern South Dakota. I wouldn't want to have any other childhood, I don't think. But when winter came on the farm in South Dakota, when you milk cows and you had livestock, life became a little more challenging than when the weather was warm. This week, when it got cold, I had to deal with my Nielsen Chicken Ranch issues. I had to find my heated waterer for my chickens, and I had to find my heated dish for my dog. I looked all over in the shop for my heated dish for my dog, and I couldn't find it. And then, after I went to Rural King, my happy place, and bought one, I remembered that I think it had a big crack in it, and I threw it away. So I was hunting needlessly for something that wasn't there. When the winter comes and you're on the farm, life becomes challenging. I had a text from my sister this week on Wednesday morning. And she wrote these words. And forgive me if I blubber a little bit here. I might not, hopefully not. She said, good morning, brothers, to my brother and I. Having a nostalgic morning thinking about our dad. It's cold and dreary today. I'm remembering how difficult it must have been for him going outside to do the chores on days like this and worse. He didn't have many conveniences and lots of junk equipment, frozen pipes, tractors that wouldn't start, cows that were pooping in the barn all day. Tell it like it is. Yet, he had the joy to sing at the top of his lungs, and he did. How I loved him. How I miss him. That's a summer picture of Dad, but the big smile on his face, and I'd say Jan was probably three, four years old, so I was just a baby. And Jan commented on that picture. I asked her to send it to me, and she said, I must have been very secure holding on to my dad's hand because I was looking around, checking out the rest of the world. He had joy. Dad had peace because my father had Jesus. He followed Jesus every day in everything he did, the way he did business, the way he worked. He lived it day in and day out. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 22, 23, the fruit of the Spirit, and the first three are love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, peace. The last week of my father's life, he was on life support and had a difficult surgery and had aspiration pneumonia, and we went, and the doctors said we need to make a decision about taking him off life support. And so the doctor said he will probably live 24 hours or 12 hours or so. So we took life support off, and we were all there, my sister and brother and I and mom, and we were standing around his bed, and my sister, who is not an official pastor, but has served in the church in many ways, served as their youth leader and so forth and so on, said, we should pray. And lo and behold, in that moment, my father started to pray. We didn't even know if he'd talk. We didn't know if he was with us or wasn't with us, but he began to pray. And God gave us a whole week with my father. And he still showed his joy. A couple days before he passed away, the nurse had got him having palliative care, just keeping him comfortable. The nurse had been in and had helped him have a bath and clean up, and he was alert. And the doctor came in for evaluation. And here's where I saw an evidence of joy in my dad's life, even in that circumstance. He goes, Dad, he said, Doc, have you heard the one about Ole who did, and I had to finish the joke for him, but in that time, he still had joy. And during that time, we sang and reminisced, and Dad wanted to sing. There's an old chorus that says, everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
Dad had peace because he had Jesus.
We sang, when we all get to heaven, we reminisced. Love, joy, peace. Jesus is our peace. Jesus wants to be your peace. If you don't know him, if you never accepted him, today would be a great day. He is not just a sign of peace. He is our peace. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that the word says that Jesus himself is our peace. So I pray today, Lord, if there's just even one person here who does not have peace in their life, do not know Jesus, that today they will say yes and invite him into their heart and life. Make him Savior and Lord. We thank you, God, for the peace that you give. Thank you that we have Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that he desires to bring peace and joy and love to our lives. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our children and families and for what they shared with us. And thank you for your spoken word today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.